We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Then I just, there's good news.
These are dangerous times.
All righty, welcome to the voter support group. As we all know, midterms are here, and this could be a really stressful time for voters. So today, we'll open up the floor for you to express your frustrations with voting. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. If you couldn't tell by my jeans and plaid shirt, I'm a Republican.
Ooh. Come on now.
Like I was saying, I'm a Republican, and being a Republican is hard. Everyone automatically assumes I'm a Trump supporter.
Did you vote for Trump?
I did.
Come on, man.
But not because I agree with him.
You don't?
No. Voting is like having a favorite football team. You gotta stick with your team, even if your quarterback is under multiple criminal investigations.
Who's your favorite football team?
The Browns.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. You can boo. It's fair.
Let's move on. Who wants to go next?
I'll go. I'm an old voter, and I don't like that everyone can vote. It's too easy now, and I hate it. Back in my day, you had to work hard to vote. And that vote meant something.
Here we go again.
It was a mission to get your vote in. You had to wake up before the sun, look for your shoes, then realize you already wearing them. Then I'd walk 7 miles through the snowstorm with the summer sun beaming on my back. It was hot.
Snowstorm in the sun.
And don't forget the goblin waiting in front of the booth now. You had to say, swipe or no swiping, swipe or no swiping. And he still might not let
you in. All right, that's all the time you have left.
Well, I vote, I keep going.
I bet you do. Who wants to go next?
I'll go.
Hi, everyone. I'm a Democrat, which means I love black people. Just not in my neighborhood.
Hey, I'm with you on that.
I'm tired of people thinking just because I'm a Democrat, I would never vote for a Republican. Maybe I like what Republicans have to offer.
Oh, what do you like that the Republicans offer?
Well, they offer a lot of, if you think about it, they, I mean, Tom Brady once said, wait, is Tom Brady a Republican or is he just rich?
And handsome.
Rich and handsome.
All right, let's move on. How about you next, young voter?
I'm a young voter, which means I don't vote.
Boo.
Hey, I thought you said no judgment.
Mm-mm. That deserved a boo.
All right, sorry about that. Continue.
I just don't know why they make it so hard. I got to stand in line in my old high school gym and use a pen like an old person on a Tuesday. I work on Tuesdays.
You do?
I mean, I could work on Tuesdays.
Come on, man.
And besides, even after an election these days, some people still don't accept the results.
Like who?
Like him.
Huh?
Care to chime in?
Oh, no. I have plenty to say. After the election.
I just want to say, when it comes to political parties, there are bad people on both sides.
Whoa. Whoa.
Shut up. There are good people on both sides, too.
Whoa. Shut up.
Okay, guess I'll just keep sweeping.
And I'll borrow this.
Maybe as a young voter, I'd be more inclined to vote if you could do it online.
See, that's y'all problem. Y'all young kids want everything online. You want to vote online, you want your food online, you want your girlfriend online. Shoot, you want Netflix online.
Netflix is online.
Not mine. My Netflix is on my TV.
Because your TV's online.
Mm-mm, not me. I get my Netflix in a little envelope. Then I open it up. Then I blow on it, make sure it's still good. Then I put it inside what's called a DVD player. Y'all young kids don't know nothing about that.
Because we just watch it on our phones.
Your phones. Your phone's a DVD player. This is a trick. Hold on. Siri!
All right, is there anyone else that hasn't spoken? Hi, my name is Jeff, and I'm an alcoholic.
Actually, I think I'm in the wrong room.
Oh, no, you're in the right room.
Siri!
Stop. Hammer time.
Bang, bang, Maxwell Silver hammer came down upon her head.
Need something to cheer us up after that maniac broke into Nancy Pelosi's house and hit her husband in the head with a hammer. Now, Paul Pelosi is still in the hospital. Thankfully, he's expected to make a full recovery. The attacker, who is now... Sure, go ahead, please. The attacker, who is now facing federal charges for assault and attempted kidnapping, is named David Wayne DePappy. We've got to stop giving people the middle name Wayne. It never ends well. David Wayne DePappy, John Wayne Gacy, Osama Bin Laden. Now, it appears that DePappy is extremely mentally ill and has also made racist posts online, including some that question the results of the 2020 election, defended the former president, and echoed QAnon conspiracy theories. So either he's going to be institutionalized or the 2024 GOP nominee. But what's the difference?
Tonight, sources tell us the suspect, 42-year-old David DePappy, carried zip ties and duct tape with him, an eerie parallel to the Capitol riot when some entered the building with zip ties. In another parallel, police have said the suspect yelled, "Where's Nancy?" when he entered the house.
Where are you, Nancy? We're looking for you.
She's in jail.
Nancy. Oh, Nancy.
Political violence is all too common in America now, but here's something I did not see coming. DePappy is from British Columbia. He's Canadian. That's how toxic our politics have become. Canada got a contact crazy. They went from Dudley Do-Right to Dudley did what?
Now, you would assume, I would assume, probably all of you would assume, that everyone, regardless of their politics, would be against hammering the elderly, right? You would assume that. Right. But apparently things have changed. Because it turns out there are many Republicans who find this whole thing really funny.
A lot of Republicans have publicly condemned the violence, but some are actually making jokes about it.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Wolf. I mean, instead of this moment of unity, what we have seen is Republicans actually mocking Paul Pelosi and the attack. In fact, Donald Trump Jr. tweeted out some really crude memes making fun of Paul Pelosi and the incident that happened. And then you have Carrie Lake, who is the Republican candidate for Arizona governor, who had this to say at a campaign event earlier today.
It is not impossible to protect our kids at school. They act like it is. Nancy Pelosi, well, she's got protection when she's in D.C. Apparently her house doesn't have a lot of protection. But...
I'm not gonna lie, mega comedy is weird. I don't get the... You hear the joke about the old man who was almost killed? That's it, that's the joke, that's the joke. But like who are these... You know this is what's crazy to me. What's crazy to me is... These are the very same people who are devastated and appalled because somebody was rude to Ted Cruz at a restaurant. Huh? These are the same people. They'll be like, this was at a restaurant. They were rude to Ted Cruz at a restaurant. Where people go to eat. And Ted Cruz goes to lick the napkins. They were rude to him. This is America. And look, I get it. It's like, it's not all Republicans. I'm not saying it's all. Some Republicans think it's a joke. Many other Republicans are not laughing, but not because they're being civil about it. No, they've chosen to turn this into a giant conspiracy theory, right? Yeah, they've said there's a whole bunch of crazy conspiracies they've come up with for why this has happened, right? And then some of them have chosen to just dismiss it. They go like, oh, this is not a big deal. This is just the random kind of crime that happens if you live in a Democrat-run city. That's what they're saying. Which is weird, right? Because you tell me this is random? It's like a random, completely random, everyday crime, right? You're telling me some right-wing conspiracy theorist broke into Nancy Pelosi's house screaming, "Where's Nancy?" And you think that was a random crime? Yeah, because we've all experienced this, right? Yeah? He's walking down the street. Some random guy jumps out with a weapon. He's like, "Where's your wife, Nancy Pelosi?" And you're like, "What? I'm not even married." And he's like, "Oh, well, if you do get married one day, you look me up and you tell me where you live."
You're like, how will I even find you? He's like, oh, look me up on Twitter. I'll be verified.
If they just ignore or make light of that kind of violence, or if they encourage their supporters to stand outside voting places armed with guns and dressed in tactical gear, if that's the environment that we create, more people are going to get hurt.
We're in a big fight here because fascism is a strong force. We've seen it take over civilized countries before. Germany comes to mind. Hungary today comes to mind. These are democracies that have gone south and have become authoritarian state. Brazil, which just rescued itself by a 2 million vote margin, was headed down that path. And we have to stand up and fight for our country. We can't leave it to the Democratic Party or anybody else. We have to do it ourselves. And that means we have power as consumers. We have power as shareholders. We have powers of people who work in big corporations. We have those powers, and we have to be willing to use them if the fascists take over on Tuesday.
The discourse in America is about to get way worse.
Now, which Republican official or candidate has ever condoned or in any way encouraged any type of violent assault? Can you start naming them? I can't.
I'd like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
Knock the crap out of him.
Maybe he should have been roughed up.
They never name names because they can't.
I want you to watch Nancy Pelosi hand you that gun. It'll be hard not to hit her with it, but I will bang it down.
It's a crime punishable by death is what treason is. Nancy Pelosi is guilty of treason, and we want her out.
They never name names because they can't.
That is a depiction of Representative Gosar carrying swords, attacking Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
They never name names.
Let's have trial by combat.
Today is the day American patriots start taking down names and kicking ass.
We will not go quietly into the night.
Strike your fear in the hearts of liberals everywhere, folks.
Get on the phone, call your congressman. You can lightly threaten them. I'm coming after you. Madison Cawthorn's coming after you. Everybody's coming after you.
I don't think liberals thought this whole mask thing through. You better believe I'm coming with my Springfield XPS.
The swamp isn't truly drained until we've nailed the hides of the alligators to the wall.
They never name names. Because they can't.
Second term kicks off with firing Ray, firing Fauci. I'd put the heads on pikes, right? I'd put them at the two corners of the White House as a warning.
I said, oh, good Lord, right to the violence. That's what I'm doing.
If you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore.
Now, which Republican official or candidate has ever condoned or in any way encouraged any type of violent assault? Can you start naming them? I can't.
Going to happen on Election Day, he said. Do Democrats have something up their sleeves? Others talking like this.
Will you accept the results of your election in November?
I'm going to win the election, and I will accept that result.
Republicans will never lose another election in Wisconsin after I'm elected governor.
Yeah! Republicans have made their priorities very clear. Continue spreading conspiracy theories about the 2020 election, intimidate people trying to vote in this election, and claim preemptively that the results must be illegitimate if they lose. Republicans have made it clear if they win back power, they'll do things like impeach Joe Biden, pass a national abortion ban, and threaten to detonate the economy to force cuts to Social Security and Medicare. But it's not just Congress where pivotal elections are being held. Pro-Trump Republican election deniers across the country are running for key positions that would allow them to supervise elections in swing states. And some are poised to win. The Washington Post conducted an exhaustive survey and found that a majority of GOP nominees on the ballot this fall deny or question the 2020 results. And the website 538 found that most of those candidates are likely to win. We simply cannot have a functioning democracy where one party denies the legitimacy of any election they don't win. Take, for example, the GOP's nominee for Secretary of State in Arizona, a guy named Mark Fincham. Fincham was actually at the Capitol on January 6th and has been interviewed by the January 6th committee. In fact, just a few weeks ago, Fincham, who was currently leading many polls for Secretary of State, which supervises Arizona's elections, tweeted, "All I want for Christmas is a few arrests of election fraud criminals." And of course, it will not shock you to learn that these lunatics have absolutely no evidence whatsoever for their lies. In fact, Fincham was asked directly by a reporter for Time Magazine if he would certify Biden as the winner of the 2024 election if Biden gets the most votes. And this is how the exchange went.
Fincham told the reporter, I think you're proposing something that, quite frankly, is a fantasy. Why, I asked him, was it so impossible to believe Biden won in Arizona? It strains credibility, Fincham responded. Isn't it interesting that I can't find anyone who will admit that they voted for Joe Biden? Well, where were you looking, in the crowd on January 6th? Do you think maybe if someone voted for Joe Biden, they wouldn't want to say that to you, a Looney Tune who asked Santa for Christmas arrests? Other than that, solid logic. That's his argument. If you don't personally know anyone who voted for Joe Biden, then by logical extension, no one voted for Joe Biden. In fact, now that you mention it, if you never met Joe Biden and you don't know anyone who's met Joe Biden, then how do you even know Joe Biden exists? He's probably not even real. Sure enough, all these stolen election lies are having very real consequences. In Arizona, for example, self-appointed poll watchers, some with guns and tactical gear, have been loitering near early voting drop boxes to intimidate voters.
These people, waiting in the dark hours of Arizona nights, are part of an effort by conservatives to watch, critics say intimidate, voters as they drop early ballots into drop boxes. Arizona's Secretary of State's office has referred 6 incidents of potential voter intimidation in these parking lots to the FBI for investigation. Some individuals have been armed and masked.
They're referencing these people, varying numbers at 2 different drop boxes in Maricopa County, people sitting in lawn chairs, and then some say they are camo clad, that they are intimidating, that they have a clear intent to intimidate.
All right, first of all, why the f*** are you wearing camouflage in a parking lot? Why do they even sell camouflage in Phoenix? The only thing you can blend in with wearing camouflage in Phoenix is all the other idiots wearing camouflage in Phoenix. It continues to shock me how these guys continue to be both incredibly dangerous menaces and also complete dip at the same time. We are living in an era of lethal dip. On the one hand, they're accomplishing their mission of scaring voters away from drop boxes, but on the other hand, they're sitting in lawn chairs wearing camouflage like a dude trying to catch a gopher in his backyard. Let's not have any illusions about who's fueling all of this. The MAGA cult of election deniers led by the GOP statewide candidates in Arizona and, of course, Donald Trump, who has continued to spread deranged claims about the drop boxes on social media and even reposted the specific address of one of those boxes.
Donald Trump himself has now reposted videos and photos on his social media account of new unfounded claims by these Dropbox watchers. And another repost of his included the exact address of one of those Maricopa County drop boxes.
Trump is now posting the specific addresses of ballot drop boxes in Arizona. Do you know how out of your mind obsessed you have to be to even know the address of a ballot drop box? I don't even know the exact address of my 6-year-old school. I just drive around until I find a building with drawings in the window. At this point, Trump's social media accounts are like scavenger hunts for insane people. It's the Da Vinci Code.
You have to find a drop box, a Susan B. Anthony dollar, and the severed head of a bird. And if you need a hint for where to find a severed head, I would check under a windmill. Because to a bird, a windmill. The windmill is the Freddy Krueger, Freddy Krueger. We love Freddy Krueger, don't we, folks? He was a tough character. He was a tough character. He was a tough character, but he cleaned up Elm Street. He cleaned it up. No one gives him any credit for that, but he came in, he killed all the kids, and now Elm Street is a nice place to live again. No more slumber parties keeping you up all night on Elm Street.
And Trump hasn't just been egging on the ballot drop box crazies in his base. He's also been talking directly to the candidates themselves, encouraging them to double down on his stolen election lies. Take Arizona Senate candidate Blake Masters. When Masters was running for the GOP nomination, he said in an ad that he thought Trump won and even had a section on his website claiming the election was stolen. But then when it came time to appeal to voters in a general election, he deleted that passage from his website and admitted in a televised debate that he didn't see any actual evidence of vote tampering, which infuriated Trump. In fact, a film crew following Masters for a Tucker Carlson documentary captured a phone call from Trump in which Trump told Masters to stand firm on the claim that the 2020 election was stolen.
Mr. President, how are you, sir? Doing great.
I got a lot of complaints about that. I don't know what you did with the debate. But I heard you did great on the debate, but a bad election answer. You got a lot of support. You got to stay with those people.
Absolutely, we stay with those people.
If you want to get across the line, you got to go stronger in that one thing. That was the one thing you had a lot of complaints about. Look at Carrie. Carrie's winning with very little money. And if they say, how is your family? She says the election was rigged and stolen. You'll lose if you go soft. You're going to lose that. base.
I'm not going soft.
I didn't think anything could be more grating than Trump talking, but I underestimated speakerphone Trump. It really accentuates just how much his throat has deteriorated. He sounds like he's been smoking 3 packs of Marlboros every day and eating one. And sure enough, the entire GOP and their media apparatus are in lockstep behind Trump. In fact, they're now even claiming preemptively that any Democratic wins in the midterms must be illegitimate. Like, say, if John Fetterman wins the Senate race in Pennsylvania, even though polls have consistently shown him leading Dr. Oz.
It's not about the person, it's about the party. It's not about the individual, it's about the group. And to prove it, they can even run mentally defective candidates who can barely speak and not only expect them to win, but expect you to accept the outcome no matter how transparently absurd it is. On November 9th, they'll be telling you that John Fetterman got 81 million votes in Pennsylvania and they'll threaten to put you in jail if you don't believe it. Why wouldn't they do that? It worked with Joe Biden.
Why wouldn't they do that? Why wouldn't they conspire to steal an election in Pennsylvania and throw you in jail if you don't believe it? Why wouldn't they come to your house and ask who you voted for? And if you say Republican, why wouldn't they take your house away? Why wouldn't they take your car and all your money? Why wouldn't they take your dog? Why wouldn't they take your second secret dog that's an exact replica of your first dog that you keep in your basement because you've been anticipating that the leftist woke regime would come to your house and take your first dog? Why wouldn't they threaten to put you in jail or kick you off social media or ban you from your favorite restaurant, Carrabba's Italian Grill? And when you show up to Carrabba's in a fake mustache, why wouldn't they point and laugh and say, did you really think that would work? And then why wouldn't they drag you into the parking lot and make you sit next to small bushes who you only later realize were actually camouflage dipping lawn chairs? This is all obviously insane. And to combat it, the Democratic Party has turned to perhaps its most popular figure for the last days of the campaign, Barack Obama, who's been out hitting the campaign trail to push back on Republican conspiracy theories, like at recent rallies for Wisconsin Senate candidate Mandela Barnes and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
Mandela's opponent has done more than just about anybody in Congress to spread conspiracy theories about the 2020 election. I mean, he has a gold medal in that event. If that doesn't elicit uniform outrage, what will? What does it take? The other day, a video came out of Governor Whitmer's opponent claiming that Democrats have been working for decades to topple the United States because they're still upset about losing the Civil War. And that COVID restrictions were part of some master plan to do this. Now, first of all, what? 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 What?
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.